The Warrior Soul podcast is written, edited, and produced by me, Chris Albert. Our mission is to provide tools, tactics, strategies, and ideas that help the U.S. military veteran community to show up as the wisest, strongest, most capable versions of themselves in the civilian world. If you're not a veteran, stick around because anything we talk about will most certainly apply to you as well. This podcast is made possible with the help of F-Bomb Nutrition. They make delicious packets of fats that you can carry around anywhere with you in little portable packets. They make macadamia nut butters. They mix them up with chocolate. They mix them up with sea salt. They mix them up with coconut butter. They're absolutely delicious, and they're really good for you. They don't have any sugar. They also make a lot of cheese snacks. They make meat sticks, and it's just a great company. These guys send packages of this stuff to the troops who are on the front lines overseas to supplement their MREs, and we didn't ask them to do that. They just did that on their own initiative. Really great company. If you want to get 20% off your first order of F-bombs, head over to www.droppingfbomb.com and use the code WARRIORSOUL at checkout. This podcast is also brought to you with the help of Save the Brave. SaveTheBrave.org is a 501c3 charity for veterans. They run camaraderie events that include fishing, golfing. They also do a lot of work with Gold Star families. And unlike a lot of other organizations, their board doesn't take a salary. Really great organization that is doing amazing work. So go and check them out at SaveTheBrave.org. With that, thank you guys so much. Let's get into today's programming. This is Chris Albert, and I'm here to remind you of one thing. Someday, you're going to die. Now, that's not some morbid statement or scary idea. It's solid fact. Your time here on this earth is limited. And we need to be reminded of this as much as possible for one simple reason. To live your best life while you can. This is the Warrior Soul Podcast. What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the Warrior Soul Podcast. My name is Chris Albert, and this is where we deliver tools, tactics, strategies, and ideas each week to the U.S. military veteran community to help them to live their absolute best lives. And man, I absolutely love doing this podcast. And one of the reasons why I love doing this podcast is because of conversations like the one I'm about to present to you. This conversation is with Mr. Matt Simpson. He's the author of a book called Worth the Fight, and he is somebody who's experienced quite a bit of trauma in his life. He's not a veteran, but like a lot of people, he's dealt with some pretty crappy circumstances, and he has been able to work through them with the help of psychedelic plant medicines. I had him on a few years ago, actually. It was a conversation with him and another gentleman from Veterans for Ethnogenic Therapy. And I'm glad I got that word right. I always get it wrong. And we were talking about the power of psychedelics to help the veteran community. And Matt has written a book about his experiences, about his travels, both physical and mental. And we had a really great conversation here. We talk quite a bit about trauma. We talk quite a bit about things you can do to start working on yourself, to start dealing with that trauma and to start bettering yourself. And we talk quite a bit about psychedelics. This is a subject that I am quite passionate about. And it's not because I'm somebody who's extremely enthusiastic about doing drugs or anything like that. I am somebody who rarely even takes a sip of alcohol. But I believe in the power of psychedelics to help explore the mind and as a therapeutic tool for this community to explore trauma, to overcome a lot of the obstacles, the mental blocks that you have in your life, and to help you to heal. Matt's story is based around this, and I highly suggest you guys check out his book, Worth the Fight. I've been listening to it on audio, and it is absolutely excellent. And I think Matt is somebody here that we can all relate to. So I'm not going to keep yapping my gums here. Just a couple of announcements. Number one, I am, like I've been talking about over the past few weeks, in the process of moving. I am trying to keep my content production as regular as possible. I'm trying to stay to that 3 times a week schedule that I've committed to. In the process, sometimes the editing quality might go down. I'm trying to keep it as high as possible, but please bear with me over this time period of transition as I'm working with less equipment in my studio. I'm kind of on the road right now, and we're trying to give you the absolute best. The other thing I just want to say is that I absolutely love this community. The support you guys have been giving this podcast, the support you give me, it's why I get up in the morning. It's why I keep doing this. You don't get rich off of podcasting. I'm not doing this for money. I'm doing this for you guys. And the only thing I ask of you in return is to get the word out there, to tell people that the podcast exists, to write us a review up on iTunes. I can't tell you how much that helps to spread word about the show, to let people in this community know that we exist, because we're not just creating a podcast here, we're creating a revolution. And in my opinion, there's never been a more important time than for members of the veteran community to step up and become leaders in their communities. With all the chaos going on out there right now, we are a community that is made up of every race, that is made up of all political beliefs, and we're a community that knows what it's like to work with people who are different from you. And that's why I think we all really need to step up here and be leaders in our communities, and to be people who people turn to in times of trouble. So we're trying to help you to do that with this podcast, and I hope you do leave us a review and tell your friends about it. So with that, I'm going to stop talking. We're going to get into this outstanding conversation with Mr. Matt Simpson, who is the author of Worth the Fight. Matt Simpson, welcome to the Warrior Soul Podcast.
Thank you so much, Chris, for having me. It's an honor to be here with you.
Yeah, I mean, going through your audiobook, I really, really, really liked it. I got the chance to come on your show last week, I think it was. And then I think that's going to be released sometime soon. But I wanted to give you the chance to come on here and tell your story to our audience here, because I think it's pretty compelling.
Thank you. Thank you. Absolutely. Yeah. It's been wonderful to connect with you, last week or the week before, and very much looking forward to sharing your high vibe insights with my audience on the Worth the Fight podcast. And, yes, absolutely. As we talked about on the pre-call, there's a lot of synergy with our respective, projects and missions. And, thank you for the kind words about, the book, the Worth the Fight audiobook that you've been engaging. And, I'm really excited to share, what we're up to.
Definitely. So just for our audience, to get a little background on you, how'd this journey start for you?
It was back in 2014. I was on my 35th birthday, October 16th, 2014, I sold a business that I'd been working on for 7 years in Chicago. I did the whole corporate America rat race thing. And immediately after, the night that I was supposed to be out hooting and hollering with the new company that bought us, my heart was on this path that I'm on right now, this path of service, this path of, helping people work through some of the challenges that I've been fortunate enough to work through. 2 months later, there was a critical juncture where I just felt intuitively like, Matt, you got 1 week here before you're going to get sucked into the game and there's going to be no return. And the money and the responsibility and accountability would have been very, very high. And so I had a week and I went down to Costa Rica to explore ayahuasca. And I'd had some success with psilocybin the years prior. And, I had a really profound healing journey with ayahuasca, really a breakthrough experience for me to feel this beyond love that I talk about in Worth the Fight, for the first time in my life as a 35-year-old man feeling love, having been raised by wonderful parents and a loving home and, you know, good friends and family support system growing up. You know, immediately it was like, shit, man, this has got to be shared. This has got to be talked about. Ultimately that, ayahuasca journey allowed me to confront the childhood sexual trauma that had my nervous system garbled up and really kept me, at arm's reach from authentic connection.
Yeah. You know, we're hearing a lot about plant medicines these days and other medicines and other, resources that I think, you know, this planet has provided to us for long before modern society ever really took hold. What was it that kind of led you down that path? Because, you know, going through your book, it brought me back, I think, to my own youth, right? To when I was engaged in my 20s. You know, when I got out of the Marine Corps, I had some significant problems with alcohol. I had some significant problems with drinking and, you know, doing a lot of the things that a lot of young men do to destroy themselves. You know, and I see that in your book, I see that in your story. You know, where were you prior to that mentally? What was going on in your head?
I was stuck. I was really stuck. I think a few years prior, I had found meditation, and that was the first thing that like actually gave me measurable results of an elevated increase in well-being and peace of mind. And that really started this path. You know, and what you're saying really resonates. And that was my 20s. I was I'd followed all the rules that society had set forth. And the more obedient I was, the sicker I became. And, you know, I had the job, I had the home, I had the Jeep, young lovers, I all those things that weren't satiating I was still miserable and I was still drinking a lot. And I couldn't connect. I think that was a big, like, Matt, you know, I remember having these kind of conversations with myself, like, Matt, you know, you can't connect on that deeper level, that deeper soul, heart level, with intimate partners. It was, you know, I couldn't, I just suspected there was something more, and that sex and connection was more about the physical aspect. And I felt like, you know, whatever it was intuitively that I was seeking was worth risking everything that I'd worked for to that point.
Yeah. And, you know, I think trauma is such, everybody has some degree of trauma in their lives. I've talked to a lot of people and there's so many people who have some degree of trauma going on in their childhood, something going on in their past, you know, to more or less severe extents. And a lot of times I think what our culture tells us to do is to try to push that down, to get rid of it somewhere, to hide it somewhere, because it's embarrassing, you know, for the person, it's embarrassing for the family, it's embarrassing for everybody involved. And, you know, when that happens, when you're pushing it down, there is a psychological weight that occurs, and, you know, you can't give yourself entirely to somebody else. You can't give yourself entirely to the moment. Your part of your mind is always back there. And I think that fewer and fewer or very few people realize the amount of weight they're carrying around with them after something like this occurs.
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree with you 100%. The idea that we are all carrying around varying degrees of trauma, and it keeps us from connecting with others. It keeps us from connecting with ourselves. And there's right. That, you know, cheesy slogan that or cliche that we've all heard since we were little kids, you know, you can't love someone else unless you love yourself. And, right. It's so true. And I think that we're waking up to, what trauma is. And that's really what the Worth the Fight podcast is all about, is we're redefining what psychedelic medicines are, what trauma is, and ultimately what our war veterans mean to our collective human family, if we indeed seek peace in this lifetime. And I think that there's a big retelling of the story around trauma. And, you know, it's, you know, I'd maybe had referenced this on our last podcast or a recent podcast, the idea in your great state of California, the Surgeon General, she, Nadine Harris-Burke, she had a prolific TED talk 3-4 years ago. And they're talking of, they're identifying this at an earlier age. And there's this whole concept of ACEs, adverse childhood experiences, that, the more ACEs, the more, of the things that we're trying to eliminate in our society, the depression, the incarceration, the substance abuse, all of these aspects, that there's a high correlation between the childhood trauma and adverse experiences in adult life.
Absolutely. And you know, I think there's also this concept of ritual, right? Where, you know, in a lot of human cultures, there was a ritual to adulthood, right? And those rituals would come up, and the entire, you know, society there, many society would participate in those rituals. And I think we're seeing a lot of people coming to adulthood on their own without any type of guidance, any type of, you know, hey, this is what's going on in your body. This is what's going on in your mind. This is how you deal with it. And in our community, the veteran community, there used to be rituals associated with coming back from war, you know, where the veterans would be able to tell their stories. The warriors would be able to tell their stories, and they would have a period of time where they were doing that before they were fully integrated back into society, into their village. And we've lost so much of that. You know, there's so many of us that have to go through these crazy experiences, frankly, alone and apart from the world.
Absolutely. Yeah. The rites of passage. And, Sebastian Younger, he writes a ton about this, and, that notion that, yeah, we don't have the rites of passage in our society into adulthood that satiate our evolutionary driver of this is something that we've always had. The very few of us that go into the military, I think less than 1% or something, really very, very low. I mean, that is a profound rite of passage, but it's a rite of passage that very few people, you know, that it's not relatable to the rest of society because so very few people do serve. There was Sebastian Younger on, I think he was talking with Joe Rogan about this aspect of what could be a remedy for this is some sort of mandatory service. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to fight or be in the armed services, but some sort of service to our country, that something that brings everyone together, and there's a common thread of, you know, hey, everybody's got to spend at least a year of doing something, even if it's doing something in a peaceful manner, but still contributing to the greater collective good, as opposed to just having the military folks that bravely serve our country.
Yeah, I put a lot of thought into that. I think it's a great idea. I also think, you know, to some extent, because we have such an entrepreneurial culture, a culture centered around business, and this is something that's becoming more and more apparent in recent years. But I think that to some extent, even having, you know, some sort of situation where everybody's got to create a business that benefits somebody or attempt to create a business or things like that, because I think there's a disconnect in our society, and not to get too far off the subject matter, but like there's a disconnect in our society between, you know, people who go off and try to do different things and try to create things versus people who try to stick within the system and who, you know, kind of venture the single path. And I think that if we were all put into each other's shoes, we might make a little bit more sense out of the classical debates going on that have been so divisive here in this country.
Absolutely. Yeah. What I'm hearing is this aspect of emphasizing service and service to others and shifting the model, shifting the game. And it's something, you know, I think that we're in unprecedented times of people struggling right now and, keeping an eye out for, and that that resonates as a strategy to create meaning. And I think there's so much apathy in because we've gotten away from the most rudimentary basics of humanity, which is loving our brothers and sisters.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I want to take it back to this concept of ayahuasca and plant medicines and discussing those for a second here, or, you know, a little bit more in depth. You know, one of the things with this notion of ritual is that these were all at one time ritualized parts of society, things that people did. And I think one of the things that we've done in our culture as well is we've taken the ritual out of that experience on a level. So for example, a lot of the times people will come in contact with these things in a party context or in a concert or something like that, right? And that's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about here is work. It's definitely not a pleasant experience. It's definitely not something you should go into unprepared. There should be a guide there. You should be doing the mental work prior to doing this. You know, set and setting and all these different things. How did you first come in contact with this? And did you seek it out? Was it something that was placed before you? Where were you able to do this?
It was in Costa Rica, and you know, I had had some success with psilocybin on a recreational setting, and I agree with your stance in terms of the importance of ritual, and I think that's what makes ayahuasca different, is that it's not done in a recreational setting. It is work. It's extremely challenging work. I think it is the work. There's no work more challenging than confronting our truth and confronting our humanity and what that requires. And you know, it was something that I had no clue what I was getting myself into. How could you? I had success with psilocybin, and then I found out, like, oh wait, there's something stronger than psilocybin. It's like, right. Dude, put me in the game. I want to go there. And you know, I had this week off, and I didn't tell my family because I knew there was going to be immense judgment. I told two friends, and they, of course, you know, gave me some cautionary words. But this was something that I had to do. This was something that resonated with a part of me that I never had this calling before, where it was like, Matt, you have to do this. This is something that is, so I listened to that. I took a chance. I jumped in the deep end, and you know, as Terrence McKenna would say, you know, you jump into the abyss only to realize it's a feather bed. And getting to that feather bed was an immense amount of gut-wrenching work, and it's not a pleasant experience. And you know, to be confronted with you know, hard truths, you know, it's a visionary experience. So you have this safe setting, and this is really what makes it different than these social recreational setting is that you're in a ritualized setting where you have the space to fully feel and feel everything, and you're supported. There's a group there. There's a container that's set of like, hey, these are the rules, these are the expectations, and it's powerful. It's profound. It's really an ineffable experience. But again, allowing you to go back to those traumatic memories to revisit them in a safe setting, to reprocess them, to recontextualize them, ultimately to cry those tears, and let them go.
And what did you find? You know, and you can get into the specifics that you're comfortable with, but what was the main message that you got from that?
Well, in 2014, that first weekend, you know, the realization, the heavy realizations were, Matt, you've only just scratched the surface on your healing journey. You know, I'd addressed the childhood sexual trauma with my family years prior, you know, basically saying, hey, you know, this happened, it's ugly, but I don't want to have this memory that our childhood was some perfect deal. So I confronted my family, started therapy, started talking about things, started getting, and then the spiritual path started with meditation and some of the work with psilocybin. And then, having that realization of, for the year of 2015, I took a full year to untangle myself from the mess that I'd created in corporate America. I got up an hour and a half before sunrise every school day on the year of 2015 to meditate and to do yoga. And really it goes back to kind of what you had said on my podcast. The big message was humility and service and doing whatever it takes to get this work done correctly. And I had to pull back a lot on some relationships that weren't healthy. I really, really took that year to go within and to prepare for ultimately for an 18-month travel journey, which I traveled the world with a backpack. And in month 17 of month 18, I came across this veteran organization, Veterans for Entheogenic Therapy. Years back, you were generous to have Ryan and I on the podcast. And that was something that was very clear to me that our warriors are dropping like flies to suicide. This isn't getting talked about. I know these medicines work. I'm going to raise my hand and stand with them. Cause it felt like a moral duty and obligation.
Yeah. And this concept of you, this is one of the parts of the book that kind of hit me pretty hard. You confronting your family, letting them know this happened. This is not okay. Not everything was, I love you all, but this is what happened in our life. That in and of itself, when you gain the power to do something like that, that changes your brain a little bit in my mind, right? Because you're there, you're putting that monster out of your brain. It's out there in front of everybody so that they can see it. And, what was that experience like for you when you did that?
It was powerful. It was the most courageous thing that I've ever done in my life. This was that knowing that I talked about with ayahuasca. This knowing that I had to go down to the jungles of Costa Rica. The first time I experienced that knowing was that feeling when I was working with Cheryl, my therapist, and I just had a knowing that this is something that I have to confront my family. And there was a loads of fear and the unknown of how are they going to receive me? Are they going to disown me? Are they going to freak out? And it was just one of those moments where, I got my family together. I got my parents together after 20 years of my mom and dad not being in the same room. I called them together and it was a working up to the moment, extremely nervous, extremely challenging. And then, when it came to that moment, it was just like, hey, this is my truth. I love you guys. This is the experience. This is what happened. It's ugly, it's messy. And it's this childhood sexual trauma, which I believe and is at root for the war and conflict that we see here on Earth. One in five of us are subjected to this childhood sexual trauma. And it's something that because of our sick society, it doesn't get talked about. So it can't, if it's not talked about, it can't heal. We can't heal this. I don't want to get too far off base to your original question.
No, I think that's on base. And the reason I say this is because, I know, just from my own experiences, I know there's so many things that we carry around with us, and even the people closest to us in our lives, we don't talk about it with them. Right. And there's gotta be this thing, because if I wrote about this once, and it's like, there's this demon that's there, and the more you don't talk about it, the more you ignore it, it gains more power. Right. The more you don't bring it out to the light, it gains more power, because it's living off of your internal fear. It's living off of those negative thoughts. It's living off of your negative self-beliefs. It's living off of all the negative things in your body. And then what happens is, when you're able to identify it And then when you're able to put it out there for other people to see, it's almost like that demon, it goes from being 7 or 8 feet tall to shrinking a little bit. It's still there. It's still severe. It still hurts, but you're able to deal with it. You're able to put it out there into the open, to talk about it more openly. And you're able to confront it. And when it does come up, it's like something that, you know, you're able to handle a little bit better once you're able to talk about it. You know, you talked a bit about the Catholic Church in your book, and, you know, I grew up Catholic and Catholicism. I mean, the priesthood is supposed to be this class that's above all of us, that's closer to God somehow. You know, that we're all supposed to listen to go to for advice, to go to for therapy. And in some instances, in you know, I'm still practicing Catholic. I actually enjoy the concept of going for confession, because it's like free therapy at times. But you know, I think that at the same time, that separation, that power that they have, has led, and the repressed sexual repressed sexual desires of the priests, that's led to a lot of really awful things, you know, and that's something that we as a church, we need to come to grips with, we need to tell the truth about, and we need to stop covering up.
Absolutely. Yeah. So much to unpack there. You know, I want to address the, your, metaphor or analogy with the demon. Yeah, absolutely. And these sacred medicines, they force you to confront your demons. And that's why it's work. It's challenging. It's scary. But in doing so, you neutralize them. You know, I still have trauma in my nervous system, but I look at that trauma differently now. I've friended my demons. My demons work for me now. I can channel that energy in the direction of serving humanity, and can channel that there's loads and loads and loads of energy in our trauma, and when we transmute that energy toward service, you know, I think that we can use that to really shift the winds, so the winds are behind us, as opposed to, you know, it always felt like I was you know, walking into a 3 or a 4 club wind. It's a golf reference for you know, anybody that might play golf, but this idea of now that you know, I feel like the wind's at my back, and you know, having that those energies neutralized. And, but yeah, and in terms of what you were saying about the Catholic Church, you know, and I really love your outlook. And I think that's, the institution would be very, very different if a majority of the parishioners had that outlook. I think that these issues wouldn't be stood for. And yeah, you know, I take a bold stance on my podcast and in my, you know, the Worth the Fight book, this notion that I truly believe that the Catholic Church is at the root of a high percentage of the war and conflict that we see at on Earth here. And you know, there's some troubling statistics that I reference and talk about often, is this notion, and we'll bring up Sebastian Younger again, is that he had some troubling research in his book Tribe. We all know Tribe is the foremost, you know, Sebastian Younger is the foremost expert in PTSD, homecoming, and belonging. He's the one who really blew the whistle on this whole, you know, PTSD and you know, our warriors and veterans having a mental health crisis. But he cites that the modern day veterans that fought in Iraq and Afghanistan were 2 times more likely to report childhood sexual trauma in the early years of childhood development than those that fought at random in Vietnam. Mind you, I said report. Anybody that knows anything about sexual shame, really fucking tough to talk about. It's just right. Really tough to talk about. And I suspect, and from my work with the with Veterans for Entheogenic Therapy, from, you know, with Jesse Gould and the Heroic Hearts Project, we're seeing a crazy high disproportionate amount of the warriors that are healing with these psychedelic medicines. It's not the arm that's missing. It's not losing a buddy in war. Those things are tragic and traumatic. But time and time again, it's the childhood sexual trauma, or it is some sort of abuse in the early years of childhood development that appears to be driving, you know, our warriors to fight in wars to begin with.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. I see that a lot. I'll think back to when I got into the Marine Corps and, you know, I was 19 years old. I'd had a strong desire to serve, a strong desire to, to be honest with you, I think as a 19-year-old, I had this kind of rage inside me that I wanted to get out. And I thought that, you know, being an infantryman would allow me to do that. One of the things the Marine Corps, and I think the Army as well, is very good at, though, is allowing people to harness that in a way that's almost positive, right? And so what do I mean by that? You begin to see yourself as a protector rather than a monster, right? And there's a difference there. There's a difference between a protector and a monster. A protector is going to turn into a monster when they're confronted with evil. A monster is just a monster. They're out there doing things just for the sake of doing things. What I'd say is that, of course, you know, there are statistics, right? If you have a group of 100 people, at least one of them is going to be a sociopath or have sociopathic tendencies, right? And of course, you know, we could go back to Vietnam and look at what happened with Lieutenant Calley and the My Lai massacre to see that if things go awry and that energy doesn't get harnessed and there's no leadership there's some horrible things that can happen. What I would say though is that you know, I think the Marine Corps and the Army, they're very good at allowing us to harness that kind of crazy energy that a lot of young guys have in them. And then they're not so good at helping them deal with that when they get out. Cause let's be honest, when you get out and you're 22 years old, that's still there, right? You're still young. Our brains aren't even fully developed really till we're like 25, 26, maybe even 30. So it's like, you know, I think that a lot of guys who get out, they're still in that kind of adolescent brain phase and they're trying to figure out how to harness that energy in the civilian world. And it's very difficult.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for sharing. You know, everything you're saying is resonant. And I think that the big challenge that we have, is integrating our warriors back from this, this flow lifestyle of being in the service. There's a PhD locally here in Milwaukee, Katinka Hoover, who did some work. She's fascinated with our warriors, and she's an anthropologist and psychedelic medicine, specifically ayahuasca, and how it relates to you know, some of these things that we're talking about. But this idea of war itself as an altered state of consciousness, and when we're bringing people back into the, you know, the 9-to-5 workday, there's a massive freaking gap there. And, you know, these medicines could be a tool, that it's my hope and prayer that in time, you know, the work of, you know, Jesse, you know, doing brave work, the veterans exploring treatment solutions, Amber and Marcus Capone, you know, our Navy SEALs came out of the psychedelic closet on my podcast. I think it was episode number 16. There's an upswell of veteran organizations that are raising their hand saying, hey, you know, we're drawing a line in the sand. We're tired of losing our brothers and sisters. Something right. has to be done. We all know the VA is, this, you know, Akshay, you know, he, you know, another former guest of yours, you know, my mentor, he talks about the VA working with a really outdated bad playbook and kind of looking at that in a manner that they're doing the best they can. But this is something that I envision the private sector stepping up and, you know, again, this upswell of veterans saying, hey, this isn't cool. This isn't right. Our our most prestigious institutions are greenlighting these psychedelic therapies for those that are earnestly seeking, to heal from trauma. We got to do something about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Akshay Nanavati is doing some great work. You know, you guys did some great work over at Veterans for Ethnogenic Therapy, and Jesse Gold's doing great work too. And I think these are all things that they definitely need to be explored. They're definitely things that the VA needs to be putting on the front burner rather than on the back burner. And I appreciate that work. I think, when we talk about altered states of consciousness too, one of the things you start to realize about society in general, or the way society is today, that's an altered state of consciousness as well. I mean, like, you know, here we are, we're talking to each other on a screen, in the plastic boxes, you know, about 1,000 miles away from each other. That's a completely altered state of consciousness. You know, we're getting used to having these kind of types of conversations. Right. I think that, it's amazing to me how much information's come to the fore just through the value of the internet, right? So if you talk, most people didn't know what ayahuasca was 3-4 years ago, right? And today, if you listen to podcasts, if you're in this realm of communication, then you're hearing about it. You're hearing about this and all types of alternative therapies. And I think one of the things that's happening here is that we're all communicating a lot more. This information is getting out there into the world. It's becoming part and parcel of our culture. And the more that happens, the more we're going to see things change on that front. Right. I think that, the stigma has got to go away. It's got to get away from, okay, these are a bunch of really, really dangerous things that should never be used, which is what the current government policy is, and switch to, okay, let's explore these for their value. Let's see how these can help people. And let's recognize that they've been used for thousands of years for these purposes.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's an extremely mature outlook of a sane outlook of integrating these into our society and holding them with deep reverence and respect, and not repeating the mistakes of yesteryear. We're in a time where, like you've been, you know, talking about, that we're so interconnected, and there's proper education is out there. There's a lot of people that are raising their hand and sharing their experiences. And the experience, I was just talking about this yesterday on a podcast, the experience that a war veteran will have with the healing in 2020 is very different than the experience that my first experience that I had in 2015, because there's loads of these signals that were tearing down a lot of this erroneous programming, this bullshit programming from the 60s and 70s, and calling a spade when it comes to our drug laws. And with the decrim movement in last year, big movements in both Denver and Oakland. Denver decriminalizing psilocybin, magic mushrooms, and Oakland decriminalizing all plants, all nature, any psychedelic medicines, whether it be ayahuasca, boga, psilocybin, cannabis. This idea that a metropolis in our great country does not look at these psychedelic medicines as a it's not a criminal issue. It's a health issue. It's, hey, what are you doing? What can we do to nurture your health, as opposed to, hey, let's put some handcuffs on you and throw you in the slammer and have you be more traumatized?
Yeah, I just don't get that. I don't get the idea of putting handcuffs on a person, you know, even if they're, you know, just trying to feel better. You know what I mean? Like, I never got that. And I mean, honestly, I come from a very conservative political background and political thought. And one of the things that's been refreshing to me, I think, over the past few years is, you know, was to hear the Trump administration say, okay, we're going to try to explore these things. If there's a use for them, we're going to try and get the VA to look into that. I think far more needs to be done. Far, far more needs to be done here. And I think that, you know, the libertarian sections of both parties need to really, you know, step up here and really try to promote decriminalization and to try to get these things promoted into more use.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's happening slowly. And that's awesome that we're in a position where, I think about and specifically the veteran population really leading this charge. And, I've been beating this love revolution drum for the last 3.5-4 years since I wrote the book, but this idea that our war veterans, they transcend the a lot of the dualistic nature of our society. They transcend the left, they transcend the right. They're male, they're female, they're, all different colors, all different races, all different religions. They're us. They're America, and they're in all of our communities. And this idea of what do we need more than anything right now? We need community resilience, and this idea of letting our warriors lead this charge into the unknown. It's scary. We don't know. We're going into uncharted territory. But with the mental health crisis that the veteran population is in, with 22 war veterans dying by their own hand each day, that number is likely far greater. I heard that Secretary Jeffries in Illinois, she made a very candid comment. She's saying, we all know that number is a lot higher. The masses that are stuck in self-abuse, the opioid crisis and mess, and it's a big problem, but it's also a problem in our collective culture outside of the veteran community, and that notion of and I really love Jesse's outlook, because Jesse Gould, a former guest of yours, because he's fully in touch with the sacred duty and responsibility that our warriors have to lead this charge, not only for our war veterans amid mental health crisis and suicide epidemic, but for our whole nation. People are curious. People are wondering, like, hey, what is going on? Everybody's talking about ayahuasca. Everybody's talking about this healing. Johns Hopkins is saying, hey, psilocybin is NYU, Imperial College of London, all of these UW-Madison, all these universities are doing these ultra compelling studies. People are curious because they're hurting, and I'm sure there's that yearning for that healing and finding something that actually works to confront the trauma, as opposed to let's just mask it and band-aid it with another pill.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and that I think is so important. And it's like we're all wearing masks, right? It's like we're all wearing masks, and we put these masks on for different purposes. You have a mask you wear with your family, a mask you wear with your job, a mask that you wear when you're walking out in the mall. And, it's there is so much repression involved, it's going to lead to some awful things if it doesn't get fixed, right? We're seeing that now. We're seeing that everywhere. And, I think that this work is so important, and I think it involves all of us. And, one thing I say about the veteran community, is that we all need to step up as leaders, right? And I think one of the things that we had been seeing for a long time, and the thing that I try to steer this community away from, is the idea of seeing ourselves as victims. We're not victims at all, right? We have experiences that most people have never had, right? We've been places that most people have never had. We've explored corners of our mind, even though it's not a pleasant experience, that most people never tend to venture down to. And when you think about that, every single aspect of that is an asset if you treat it like an asset, right? Every single aspect of that could be an asset. It just requires some training, and it requires some ability to see it for what it is and to admit the truth of what you've been through in your life.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a very powerful, summation of really this notion of there's a Thich Nhat Hanh quote, that veterans are the light at the tip of the spear, at the tip of the candle, illuminating the way for the whole nation. If veterans can achieve transformation, peace, and well-being, they can share with the rest of society the reality of war, and so we can never have conflict again. And that was from Thich Nhat Hanh. I butchered it, but you get the essence of it. But yes, you guys and gals have lessons and have these experiences that are profound, that the civilian community couldn't dream up with a doobie and a pot of black coffee. And there's something extremely powerful in that. And there's a and I think there's a responsibility as well. And, Sebastian Younger, he talks about that in terms of, the tribal communities would revere their warriors as the most spiritually enlightened, because they have these experiences that you just can't. You can't dream up. You guys have lived that. You've been through you've seen the greatest beauty in humanity, but you've also seen the ugliest parts of humanity. And I think that the degree to which we know and understand and face our darkness is the very same degree to which we can stand and love and share our light. And that is why I've, for the last 3.5-4 years now, have made it my life's mission to share this work around our warriors, to raise my hand and to say, hey, if we want peace in this lifetime, let's rally around our war veterans. It's something that we can all agree on. It's a love-based solution. Let's let them, guide us into the unknown. Amber said something very, Amber Capone, Marcus Capone's wife, said something very poignant on the Worth the Fight podcast. She had said something to the fact that our Navy SEALs, and I'm sure this holds true for all of the war veterans that are healing with psychedelic medicines, are waking up to the reality that that their most important mission is forthcoming. And that is properly, safely integrating these psychedelic healing modalities, these medicines, into our culture in a responsible, safe manner.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Matt, where can people get access to your book? Where can people learn more about you and the work that you're doing?
Absolutely. Thank you. You can find the book, Worth the Fight, on Amazon. It's also on Audible. I recorded a 8-hour audiobook, and you can find out more about what we're up to on the worththefightbook.org on my website. And, I'm on social media of at Worth the Fight Book on Instagram and Facebook. And I'd love to connect with people I've pledged all of the proceeds of Worth the Fight, of the book, to psychedelic healing in our warriors amid a mental health crisis. So it's my hope and prayer that I can keep getting on podcasts and keep getting this word out there, and we could start selling a boatload of books. And the psychedelic research and psychedelic funding is dry with, everybody hurting right now. We're in these precarious times. It's tough to get the funding. I think that the Worth the Fight message has become very relevant right now with what's going on in the world. And I'm really grateful for a platform to share. And it's been amazing to connect with you these past many weeks, to reconnect with you. And I'm continually impressed with your high vibe insights and very responsible outlook and sane outlook as to where we're heading, and the work that you're doing for the veteran community is God's work. And for you to raise your hand and say, hey, these are my experiences and these are the things that can help empower my tribe, is a transcendent solution that I truly admire.
I appreciate that. We try here, just trying to keep the message going and trying to get great work like yours out to this community, because I think, that's so important right now. We're in the building phase of a massive transformation. And, you know, the more that this information gets out there to this community, I think the more we're going to have an impact on this country and the more we're going to have an impact on the world. So thank you for all the work that you're doing. And thank you for this awesome message that you put out there in the world.
Absolutely. Thank you so much again. It's been an honor to have this opportunity with you, Chris.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to everybody out there, listen, you know, this, we put a lot of information out there today. I can't emphasize this enough. Start exploring, right? There's options out there for you. You know, take a look at Matt's book, Worth the Fight. You know, it's out there on audiobook. I've been listening to it and, you know, really taking the words that he puts out there in and trying to do this stuff slowly, and trying to work it into my brain. This is not something that happens overnight. You don't get automatic change just by hitting a button or anything like that. This is work. We brought a number of different thinkers on here. We talked about Akshay Nanavati. Excuse me, guys. Got a little bit of hay fever going on. We talked about Akshay. You know, we talked about Jesse Gold. We talked about veterans for ethnogenic. I always have a problem with that word, ethnogenic therapy. You know, and the work that Matt's doing here, Worth the Fight. I can't emphasize this stuff enough. Explore, learn, and you know, and then take action. So.
And I just want to say real quick, the Veterans for Ethnogenic Therapy, we ran into a buzzsaw in 2018 and you know, ran out of funding and you know, had really stopped this work. But the Heroic Hearts Project with Jesse Gould and Veterans Exploring Treatment Solutions, Vets, which is Marcus and Amber Capone raising their hand for the Navy SEALs community and Special Forces. But yeah, all sorts of really hopeful, exciting things going on in the world. And, you know.
Well, podcasts don't die, so definitely go back and listen to all those.
Absolutely. A lot of evergreen podcasts. And you, my friend, have a ton of those. Yeah, good things are happening.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you again, Matt. To everybody out there, listen, get out there, live your best lives while you can. Times are hard, but that doesn't mean you got to stop living. So keep doing it. Keep putting the work in and things will get better. We'll be talking to you soon. I'll be back to you later on this week with some more awesome content. And this is Chris and Matt, and we are out.
Peace.
All right, guys, I hope that you got a lot out of that interview. Matt is just such a great person who really wants to help this world. And I have really enjoyed the multiple conversations that I've had with him. We've been talking both on air and off air about different things that he's doing, different things that I'm doing. And, you know, I just have a lot of admiration for what he's doing. I hope you do go out and check out his book, Worth the Fight. He is putting 100% of the proceeds into this research. Understanding the power of psychedelic plant medicines. And this is research that is going to directly help our community, put more people in touch with this. And once again, I just want to emphasize this. We're not talking about going out there and grabbing a bunch of drugs and just doing them. This is stuff that requires work. This is stuff that's not pleasant if you're not doing the work necessary. You need to do the work on yourself in order to get something from this. I just want to emphasize that for you guys. And we brought to light a lot of different resources that you could take advantage of. We've had Jesse Gold here, He's the head of the Heroic Hearts Project. And we've been talking about this subject quite a bit here for a few years. So I hope you guys go out and actually explore this stuff, put it into action, and at a minimum, do the work on yourself to begin to open yourself up to this world. I want to thank you all for listening. As always, please let us know if you have any questions. And again, the only thing I ask of you for in exchange for me putting out this show is for you to tell other people about it. So please tell your friends, share these episodes out with people who need them, and be sure to write us a review up on iTunes. Thank you guys so much. I'll be back at you later on this week with some more awesome content. This is Chris Albert, and I am out.